Welcome. My name is Asam Stolu. I'm a trainee editor of the UEG Journal, and you're listening to the UEG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal, with the purpose of learning from the most recent evidence and to provide a platform for authors to discuss the most important findings of their research. Hello, and welcome back to the UEG Journal podcast. I am one of your new hosts, Asana Stolo, a trainee editor for the UEG Journal. And today I will be joined by Dr. Nati Cohen from Tel Aviv Medical Center in Israel, who is one of the co-authors for the review article titled Treat to Target and Sequencing Therapies in Crohn's Disease, published in December 2022 in the special issue Changing Paradigms in Management of Inflammatory Bowel Disease. So, Dr. Cohen, welcome to the UEG Journal podcast. This is our first episode of the second season where we've had a switch in the hosts. So I'm very excited to have you on the show with me today. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here with you.
Amazing. So if you can start by telling us where you work and your position and maybe introduce your co-authors as well, that would be wonderful.
Sure. So I'm Nati Cohen, Nathaniel Cohen. I'm a gastroenterologist and specializing in the care of patients with IBD at Tel Aviv Medical Center in Israel. I completed an advanced fellowship in inflammatory bowel disease 6 months ago. I returned to Israel, and that was at University of Chicago, and that's where I worked under Dr. David Rubin, who is the senior author on this paper, and Nicole Garcia. She is one of our excellent research coordinators and soon-to-be medical student who co-wrote the paper with me. So yeah, it was a good experience writing with them.
Thank you. So the title of the paper is Treat to Target and Sequencing Therapies in Crohn's Disease. So could you start by giving us an overview of what you mean by treat to target strategy?
Sure. Essentially, Crohn's disease, which is what this paper talks about, but inflammatory bowel diseases in general are chronic inflammatory disorders affect the entire gastrointestinal tract. Primarily Crohn's disease does that, ulcerative colitis, the colon, but their nature as being chronic conditions leads to there being multiple challenges in managing these diseases over the course of the years that patients have their conditions. We know that patients, traditionally, we've always strived and we still strive for patients to feel well, so to speak, clinical remission. But we know that up to 50% of patients who achieve clinical remission will still have some degree of underlying and ongoing inflammation. And this inflammation is what really drives disease-related complications, increases likelihood of recurrences further down the line, of hospitalization, surgeries, and in certain cases, cancer. And for that reason, the treat-to-target approach, where we try and treat a more objective measure of inflammation and reach that, is the kind of treatment paradigm that we've moved towards in recent years. There's quite a lot of evidence now supporting that. The initial studies came out of France. They were retrospective studies, which gave the initial clue that achieving deeper levels of or aiming for deeper levels of mucosal healing on endoscopy was associated with better outcomes. But then we've had some large prospective and randomized trials, such as the REACT, most recently the REACT2, which was presented at UEG Week, and also the CALM study also, which kind of showed that when we choose a target, especially a more objective target, we can achieve better outcomes in terms of lowering hospitalization rate, the need for surgery, in the long term. And this obviously has a great impact also on the patient, but also on the entire health system, as these chronic conditions can be quite draining for a health system. So that's where we see the street to target. Also the stride protocols or guidelines were recently published, which really defines the targets that we should be aiming for in our patients. And it's really become the mainstay of how we manage our patients.
That sounds really exciting, particularly considering, you know, the prognosis of patients and trying to move towards a more sort of objective way of treating their symptoms rather than kind of treating the symptoms as they arise, which I think from your paper kind of continues allowing organ damage to happen. So really excited to see this being hopefully applied in practice. So we'd love to hear more about your study. How did you and your colleagues decide to pursue this line of work, particularly to review in terms of sort of studying inflammatory bowel disease and Crohn's disease in particular?
Sure. I think, you know, being at a tertiary center, we kind of get referred a lot of patients. And we see that sometimes, or it seems at least from high up at these tertiary levels, that when we get referred patients from outside centers or more peripheral areas, there really is less of an understanding as to the natural history of disease, why it's important to choose objective markers, and also really a lack of education of patients. And I think this is also where treat to target comes in. Part of the treatment treat to target paradigm is that we educate patients, we teach them about why it's important to not just feel well, but to also achieve deeper levels of remission, and allow them, or at least together with them, come to a decision as to which are the important targets that they want to achieve. And I think that's an important aspect of this is really getting the patient to buy in to this concept. And in this way, I think, improve outcomes. It also is a way of improving the patient-doctor relationship, which I think is important, especially in such chronic conditions. So I think our exposure to the way patients are treated before they get to us, not always, obviously, there's a lot of excellent physicians out there, but it kind of leads us to want to help educate both our fellow physicians and also patients as to the way the field is moving, and that these deeper levels of remission are really critically important, but also to look more holistically at the patient.
So I'm curious to kind of hear about, you know, the fact that your review suggests that sequencing therapies being translated into the treatment of Crohn's disease can sort of speed this process along. So how have you found from your review of these kind of approaches, how can this be kind of translated into the clinic, into the treatment of Crohn's disease in the near future?
Sure. Well, I think the future is now. I don't think it's in the near future. I think tomorrow we can all go into our clinics and we see patients, and we should be keeping these concepts in mind. I think part of the sequencing comes to treating or to choosing a target. I think all of us who see IBD patients can acknowledge the myriad of ways that a patient can present, the myriad of issues that they may have, and not all patients complain of the same things. Some patients may be extremely symptomatic with urgency and need to rush to the toilet every few minutes. And others may be feeling well from a bowel point of view, but have joint pain or psoriasis. And others yet may be feeling perfectly well, but have a severe degree of inflammation on objective endoscopy or fecal calprotectin test, for example, or imaging. And each of those patients requires a very different targeted approach, which is why we feel that using the treat to target can really help promote the choice of the right target for each patient, and also the selection of the right therapy. For example, a patient who needs who's very symptomatic and needs rapid induction of remission, we may choose steroids as a first-line therapy while we wait for the onboarding of a more advanced therapy, a biologic or a small molecule. For a patient with musculoskeletal concomitant disease such as rheumatoid arthritis or perhaps spondyloarthritis, so we know that there's certain therapies that are more effective in those scenarios, such as anti-TNFs, JAK inhibitors or the anti-IL-23s, and likewise patients with psoriasis, patients with multiple sclerosis may benefit from the use of drugs that can treat both Crohn's disease and multiple sclerosis, such as natalizumab, or in ulcerative colitis, an ozanimod or a sphingosine 1-phosphate therapy. So really choosing the right target, which can be based on multiple factors for each patient, is really important. Obviously, patients with perianal disease need their own and specific kind of management. And by discussing all these issues with the patient, you can really get them involved in this and help them understand why choosing the right target for them is important, and also help explain to them, give them a set outcome that we're looking for. This is the target. This is where we want to get to. It gives them a sort of plan. Often, I think anyone, even physicians, but especially patients with chronic diseases, they can often get lost in this process of continued follow-up and continued tests that they need to go to. But when they have a set target, this is what we're looking to achieve for the next visit. This is how we're going to try and get there. This is what we're going to do if we don't get there. It really kind of helps organize things in a condition which is often so disorganized. And I think that's just beneficial for everyone involved.
Okay, thank you. Coming from a bit of a basic scientist's perspective, in choosing these objective targets to allow for this targeted therapy, how much do you think the role of benchmarked biomarkers are helpful in determining either the severity of the patient's disease or the current stage of inflammation that they have? And do you think that translational research into these kind of tools can further improve or increase the kind of specificity of some of these approaches further? Or do you think the biomarkers that are currently available are quite streamlined and sensitive?
Yeah, I think the biomarkers we have at the moment are good. We have biomarkers that help us stratify patients in terms of severity. They, in some instances, can help us determine the choice of therapy. For instance, in patients with ulcerative colitis, a patient who has a very high CRP, a very low albumin, we may be less inclined to give them a protein-based therapy such as a biologic and more inclined to give them a small molecule-based therapy because of the fear of a leaky bowel and that the biologic we're giving them is just being drained out. So I think biomarkers can help us in multiple ways. And I think part of the main role of the biomarkers we have at the present day is really for follow-up. It gives us a target of where we want to be. We choose, say, a patient who has a high fecal calprotectin at baseline. We know and we correlate it. We benchmark it with a colonoscopy that shows the degree of inflammation they have. And then we know that this fecal calprotectin can be used as a less invasive way of monitoring them going forward with therapy. And we set that as the target we want to achieve. I think there are other more interesting biomarkers that will be developed in the future. I don't think we're there yet, but I think there will be more omics-based biomarkers, both microbiome, metabolomics, proteomics. I think we're going to be moving in genomics, obviously, we're going to be moving in that direction, which will really help us take this entire concept to another level and the personalization of treatment of IBD to a whole nother level, but we're not there yet. So without those more advanced sort of biomarkers, I think the ones we have are satisfactory at present, and that's what we need to be focusing on.
Yeah, that's really exciting prospect for the future, hopefully, to see people, you know, moving towards more personalized approaches and the integration of genomics for the treatment of IBD.
Definitely.
So we've spoken about how great all of this is, but what do you think may be some of the limitations of this kind of approach as opposed to a more kind of traditional management of Crohn's disease?
Sure. I think the major limitation to this approach is the fact that, you know, we need to know when to stop. When is enough enough? When have we achieved what we need to achieve? You know, the data for the different levels of remission get less and less as we go from clinical remission to mucosal healing, to histologic healing, to transmural healing. So I think we need to kind of know when to cut our losses, when to know we've reached a good point with the patient and not try to push further. I think part of the limitations are also that this can be very demanding of the patient, that they need to undergo repeated testing in order to know that we've obtained the target. And also, I think one of the limitations is that our therapies aren't good enough at getting us to the target that we want, which kind of can lead to rapid switching of therapies and this sort of constant chase after a target. It also can be costly because we may be going through a lot of biologics, going for higher doses of biologics. And in certain instances, as the Stardust trial showed, not all patients. Stardust was the study that compared standard of care ustekinumab to enhanced care ustekinumab and only showed a benefit in a small subset of patients with inflammatory markers at the beginning. And I think that kind of highlights for us that treat to target may not always be appropriate for all patients. So we should really select, I think as a concept, we should be using it because, as I mentioned, patients are present in a myriad of ways. And I think there's different targets that can be applicable to every patient. But when we're really chasing after healing of the bowel, we need to be careful as to who we're going for. And I think that's also where our risk stratification at the beginning needs to be improved. So I think that's part of the limitation as well, is that we're just not as good at risk stratifying our patients. So a lot of patients may be overtreated in the sort of strategy as well.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it goes back to what you were saying about that open communication, or promoting that open communication between the patient and the clinician, and, you know, listening to or considering multiple factors before choosing a therapy for them. But thank you. That was all really clear.
Sure.
So if you could summarize your findings from this review in a couple of sentences and your conclusions that you drew from the research, what would they be?
So I think the most important that I can think of is that obviously the traditional management of Crohn's disease was always focused on symptomatic control, but we know that symptomatic control isn't enough and we do need deeper levels of remission, and that's what we should strive for. And choosing a treat-to-target strategy where we choose a more objective measure of inflammation can really help us make our way through the complex management of such chronic diseases. I think, and it's important to mention, that it should be used as a tool as well to educate patients, to get them to buy into this entire, to their therapeutic plan, and also make them a really, they are, it's their disease. They should be a really important part to making any treatment decision that we do. And I think treat to target really enables that that process. And I think it leads to better patient-doctor relationship. And I think that in turn, in and of itself, will lead to better outcomes. So I think all in all, the summary is treat to target strategy is at present probably the best strategy we have for treating both Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Using the STRIDE guidelines and those targets is recommended. And obviously further studies in terms of targeting specific patient groups who would most benefit is needed, and also better biomarkers really for both prediction of risk and prediction of response to treatment is of critical importance for our patients.
Amazing. Dr. Cohen, thank you so much for your time and this amazing discussion. And yeah, if any of our listeners haven't yet had a chance to read the paper, I'd strongly recommend it. And thank you very much once again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. And I'd just like to thank again my co-authors for Dr. Rubin and Nicole Garcia for all their work in putting the paper together. And thank you and your listeners and readers for promoting it and getting the word out there. So thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this interview, and if you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your episodes from. Thank you, and see you again.